It's always brilliant when people go on mission and then come back and see their hearts changed, but their hearts full of passion as well. And hopefully it inspires us and challenges us, because we just look at those guys and just see three ordinary guys. But they just gave themselves to God, availed themselves to God, and God did some incredible things through them. Absolutely brilliant. Thanks for that. Listen, we're going to quickly look, we've not got much time, but we're going to look at a little bit in Jeremiah this morning. So, stewards, if you've got some Bibles to hand out, if you'd like a Bible, please just raise your hand and we'll pass one on. But we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 1, 7-5-6, and I'm going to cut short some of the things. So, God, please just help me cut out what I need to cut out and leave in what I need to leave in. Amen. Okay. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he lived in the time of the nation of Judah. He lived during the reigns of the last five kings. He was a prophet for about 40 years during those times. And at that time, too, it was a real time of turmoil, because you had the Assyrians vying for power, you had Egyptians vying for power, and you had the Babylonians vying for power. And in the middle of all this, you had this little tribe of Judah, and you had the little nation of Israel, and they're getting a bit battered and bruised by all these other guys fighting over them. At the same time, these guys are being disobedient. They're not following God as he wanted them to. And so, in these last five kings, God sends them the prophet Jeremiah. So we're just going to read very, very quickly from verse 4. And it's looking at the call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." There's a great encouragement from us from the life of Jeremiah to start with. Before I knew you, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Hang on to that. Before you were born, I set you apart. Hang on to that. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Okay, we might not be a prophet to the nations, but God wants us to be his messengers here today. Just like these three guys have gone out to Moldova, God wants us to be his voice pieces here in this land for today. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot." Where did we just hear that word uproot? Karen, thank you. That word, I think, was for us today, because perhaps some of us are holding on to things that it's not strong enough to hold us through the trials. And God wants to uproot you so that you can be planted somewhere else and dig roots down deeper into something that's far more solid. You've got a belief system that will not stand. God wants you to give a solid belief system that's on this word, that you stand on it, and it will keep you solid. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to worry. You don't have to have a life full of anxiety and stress, because you're stood on this word. You're stood on this word. God will uproot what is not of him. And if some of us are going through that time of uprooting, see it as a positive thing. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it's going to be painful. But the outcome of is a blessing. So, the message of Jeremiah was this. Sorry, that was just something that I thought I'd bring as part of after what Kieran said. "See, I have appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow." But then on the other part of that, he said, "Jeremiah, I've also called you to build up and to plant." The word of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see a branch, an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." Now just quickly jump down to verse 17. "Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, says the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray in these next few minutes you would take these words, Lord, that you would plant them into our hearts. Lord, where you want to uproot, go ahead and do that, please. But also, after you've uprooted, plant us, cement us, put your word in us so that we can stand and live for you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. I love life groups, and just recently I went to Kate and James Riddick's life group. It was the night where we were talking about the master-slave relationship, the boss-employee relationship. And at the beginning of that night, James asked the question, when you were 10 years old, what did you want to do? And everybody went around and answered, and we had, yeah, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, and a few said, I want to be an astronaut or whatever. And then he asked this other question that I wasn't expecting. He says, if you could do any job right now, what would it be? And I thought for a little while, and this was my job description. I would love to be a presenter on Top Gear, because I would love the fact that I could get to travel the world, I'd meet different celebrities, I'd get to face some extreme challenges, I'd get to smash up caravans, I'd get to drive fast cars, drop patches and perform donuts, I'd try out all the newest and fastest cars, I'd get to pick on my colleagues mercilessly, and yes, I'd get to smash more caravans. But the best part of all is I would be paid for being an idiot. I could be paid for just traveling around and having a jolly and having a laugh and being a clown. Because at the end of the day, that's what these guys do. However, the job description for a prophet of God was very, very different, wasn't it? And the job description perhaps for you and me as children of God is very, very different. You see, Jeremiah's message, Jeremiah's call was to take a message to his community. And it came in two parts as we looked at. First, his message was to uproot, it was to destroy, it was to get rid of all of that sin, it was to get rid of all that wrong, it was to get rid of all that junk that the people were believing, that the people were following. Why? So that God could then come in and bring his truth. The truth that would build up, the truth that would plant, the truth that would restore that tree and make it grow with stronger roots, so that when the strong times, so that when the strong winds come or when the storms come, the next time it will not be blown over. Again, I felt that just in terms of when the storms come. Sometimes, I've forgotten who it was, I think it was Sue at the beginning, just said, some of us are going through real battles. It's good to go through those battles. You know why? Because in 5 years' time, you face that battle again, and you're going to know how to face it. You face that battle again, and you will not react the way that you perhaps are reacting now. Why? Because you've been there, done it, you bought the T-shirt, you will have moved on, your faith will have grown, and you will face and you will deal with that struggle and that trial in a totally different way. So do not look down on the fact that you're going through trials right now, because they will strengthen you. 5 years from now, you will not be different. God has brought those to you for a reason. He's allowed you to go through those for a reason. I'll wrap up with something that hopefully bring good news to that as well. So there were two parts to Joseph's message that he was speaking. It was to, Jeremiah. The two parts that he was speaking. One was to uproot. The second one was always to plant, was to bless. And as Jeremiah was speaking, the other thing that he had to do that we see in that verse 17 there, we see it a couple of times. He says, God says to Jeremiah, get yourself ready because I want you to stand. Stand up and say, he says that in verse 17, stand up and say, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. Jeremiah is given two charges there by God to stand. Jeremiah had to stand against two types of things. First of all, he had to stand against the whole land. If you see there in verse 18, it says, Jeremiah took a stand against the whole land. What did that mean? Well, Jeremiah's message was actually against the leaders, the political leaders of that time. So the kings and the officials. It was also against the priests of God, who you would have thought would be righteous and doing the right things. They were disobeying God and living in rebellion. Then there were false prophets coming along. They were living in rebellion. They were passing on a wrong message. They were saying to the people, you're not going into exile. God's going to keep you from going down to Babylon. And they were teaching you false lies, false doctrines, false truths. And then the last one that he had to face was the people. So he had to face the politicians, he faced the priests, he faced the false prophets, but he also faced the people. You know, when we stand and give our message, when we stand and live for Christ, there are going to be people that will come against us. And sometimes those people that come against us will be very, very surprising. Those people that try to resist us, we will never have expected it. But yet they're there. We need to be overcomer. But not only did Jeremiah have to stand against certain people, he also had to stand through certain things. You see, Jeremiah's life came at great cost of suffering. And today's title, as we're thinking of these themes, is what is the cost of following God, the cost of discernment, the cost to our lives? What was the cost to Jeremiah? Well, the first cost was he suffered emotionally. If you read the book of Lamentations, that was a book that Jeremiah wrote, and it's right after Jeremiah in the Bible. But if you read that, you see Jeremiah complaining to God. You see Jeremiah lifting up all of his heart's anguish to God. And you know what? It's okay to do that. God has big shoulders. Tell God the problems you're going through. Tell God the difficulties, because he's got big shoulders. In Freedom in Christ, we talk about that as being emotionally honest with God. God knows what you're going through anyway, so just tell him. And you know what? You become unburdened as you tell God. You become unburdened because you're saying, God, I'm casting all my cares, I'm casting all my anxiety onto you. You take it. I can't deal with it anymore. I'm not strong enough. And he will do that. But Jeremiah had to learn to go through that. So he suffered emotionally. Jeremiah suffered relationally. I forgot where the passage is, but Jeremiah was told by God not to take a wife. To you and I, we would perhaps see that in this day as, well, it's my right to take a spouse. But God specifically asked Jeremiah, no, you're not to get married. He suffered relationally. Not only that, but all of these guys, the priests, the prophets, the people that should have been his friend, these were the ones that turned their backs on him. Why? Because he had a message and was carrying a message from God that they didn't want to hear. Lastly, suffered physically. Jeremiah suffered a variety of injustices. He was beaten and he was put into stocks. He was thrown down a deep well and left to rot. He was often under house arrest. He was accused of treason and he was beaten and thrown in prison. He was threatened with death a number of times. But all through this, Jeremiah stood strong. For those 40 years that God called him to be a prophet, that God called him to be the lone voice in a dark country, he stood strong. Two secrets, I believe, that Jeremiah stood on to help him stand strong. First of all, he knew the call of God on his life. I dare say that when Jeremiah was going through those tough times where people were picking on him and getting to him, he remembered that time in his early childhood when God came and met him and said, Jeremiah, I'm appointing you to be a messenger to my people. I know for me, when I was at 16 years of age, I was baptized and there was a prophetic word for my life. And in those subsequent years to this day, if I go through struggles, if I go through trials, I remember that day that I was baptized where God had the special word on my life. Folks, when we go through those battles, when we go through those struggles, when we go through those trials, a great place to go to is remember the day that you were called. Remember the day that God said, I'm inviting you into my family. I want you to be my child. Remember that day of salvation. But then secondly, look for those times when you know God has spoken to you. God has ministered into your life. Because in the tough times, those will be moments of remembrance. Those will be pillars and stones of remembrance that will strengthen you through those tough times. So Jeremiah was always one who was reminded of his call. Part of his call became his passion. Part of his passion became his mission. And because he had a mission, he could no longer coast. He was not a pew sitter. He was called. He had a mission. He couldn't afford to coast. Therefore, he was willing to go through any trial, any physical, emotional, relational trial that God would throw at him. Standing firm. The second part, sorry, I'm not keeping up with my own PowerPoint. Second part here is, again, this is what I felt like was really, really good with what Kieran brought to us. He knew the word of God. Jeremiah was one who knew the word of God. If you just look at chapter 1, in verses 2, in verses 4, in verses 11, and verses 13, you hear this phrase, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. That's very significant because that phrase is repeated 81 times in the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came. In your situation, are we waiting for the word of the Lord? God wants to speak. Not only that, but you see this expression 147 times in the book of Jeremiah. You hear this Jeremiah saying these words, this is what the Lord says. It's not what Cookie says. It's not what John Squire says. It's not what Johnny says. It's what the Lord says. That's why we need to know this. And Dave last week challenged us to really get to know this, to engage with this, to study this, because it will be the thing that strengthens us in those difficult and tough times. Just if that's not enough, 170 times in the book of Jeremiah, it says, the Lord declared. Folks, if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to be in this. James Ellerdron was with us last Wednesday. And I loved as I was listening to him, because as he was talking about prayer, do you know what he was praying? All the time, scriptures were coming to his mind. They'd been embedded in him. Yesterday, we had a men's prayer time. I love listening to Brian. I love listening to Lawrence. I love listening to some of our other men. Because as they pray, do you know what's coming out? It's the word of God. They've cemented themselves in this word. I love listening to Cookie when we go into our meetings and stuff, because Cookie is always bringing out gems from God's word. Where did that come from? Well, it came from many years ago, sitting in Brian and Denise's home groups, getting the word of God into them, listening to it, meditating on it, sinking it deep into their hearts. Guys, it doesn't come by accident. You have to work at it. And just as James encouraged us on Wednesday night to be students of prayer, to take time to get into God's presence, can I encourage you? Use the other side of the coin. Prayer and God's word, they go together. You need them both. The word of God enhances your prayer life, but your prayer life will also enhance your understanding of the word of God. You must get those together, not one above the other. Sorry. A couple of minutes. God is calling us to be a Jeremiah generation. A Jeremiah generation is a generation of men and women, boys, girls, who are saying, I want to go and I want to be a voice for God in my community, wherever I am. I'm quickly ripping through this. I've got 2 minutes. Can we get that clip ready? I started with looking at Top Gear and... Sorry there. If we just hold it there, because I'm going to set it up, Kathy. Sorry. There was a couple of slides, but one of my favorite stories in Top Gear was this. They got a Toyota truck, okay, a red Toyota truck, and the mission of the three guys was to destroy it, okay? So they set it on fire. They parked it in the ocean for 6 hours and flooded the thing. They got a big wrecking ball and were smashing it with a wrecking ball. Jeremy drove it down over several flights of stairs and then drove it into a tree. My favorite part was they got a big caravan and smashed the caravan on top of it, destroying both. They tried to destroy that thing. It couldn't be destroyed. Then finally what they found was they found this tower block in London that was about to be demolished. They put it up at the top. Here's what happens. Off we go. Thanks, Kathy.
With explosives. Who would like to see what happens next?
Yes!
Play it.
Moment of truth.
Will it be buried under thousands of tons of public housing? No, there it is. It may have escaped being buried alive, but that 240-foot drop has taken its toll. It's smashed and bashed almost beyond recognition.
Oh dear. I'd say that was pretty ronnied. Have you got a crowbar with you?
Again, we've got our mechanic with us, and as before, he's not allowed spare parts and he can only use basic tools. Too much. It doesn't look good.
Right, is this it?
Right, this is it. I'm going to give it a go.
That. Guys, the story of that Toyota truck is the story of Jeremiah. The story of that Toyota truck and the story of Jeremiah is your story and my story. I want to finish with my most favorite verse in the Bible. This is my life verse. I got this when I was about 21, 22, when I was a student at university, and I've stood on it ever since. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, I'm going to finish with this. Okay, this will be the last thing. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, page 1161, 1161. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. You and I, we're a jar of clay. We're a bit like that truck. We get battered, we get bruised, we're going to get smashed around in life and circumstances and work and ministry, whatever. We are jars of clay. But inside of us, we have a hidden treasure. That the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Folks, do you recognize the power that is within you, the authority that is within you, the resources that are within you? It's not you personally, but it's the person who's in you. The resources, the authority of God is within you. A treasure hidden in a jar of clay. But here's the bit I want us to get to, because this speaks loudly to what Sue felt this morning and just coming in. There's a lot of us feeling just beaten up. A lot of us are going through difficulties. A lot of us are feeling we're just struggling with life perhaps. Let this verse give you great hope. 7 through 9. Find it myself. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but never abandoned. We are struck down, but never destroyed. Folks, today, the message is this. If you're standing for God, if you have the call of God on your life, difficulties are going to come. That's what Dave talked about last time. Opposition is going to come. Resistance is going to come. But two things can we stand on. The call of God on our lives, but God's word in our lives. And as God's word is in our lives, no matter what, no matter what comes against us, no matter the emotional resistance that comes against us, no matter the physical resistance that comes against us, no matter the relational resistance that comes against us, you know what? We can stand. I'm going to read those verses again. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We walk in victory. we fight in victory. Yes, we'll carry the scars and the bruises and the batterings along the way, but the end result is victory. If we could just have the band up just to finish off. I want to finish with one last thought, and it's this. Do you know what the name Jeremiah means? I was tremendously encouraged when I heard this. Jeremiah, for 40 years, lived a life of discomfort, ill ease, battered and bruised all over. But the name of Jeremiah means the Lord will lift up. Isn't that beautiful? God knew before he had called him many, many thousands, millions of years before, that Jeremiah was going to do this job in this place at a certain time. And he gave him the name Jeremiah, because he knew his life was going to take a battering. But he said, you know what? I am there. I will lift him up. I will carry him through. I will rescue him. I will help him to be an overcomer. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for your word today. I want to say thank you that, God, you call us to be a Jeremiah people, that we carry your word, that we don't shrink back, that we know the truth of your word. Father, we're not a deceived people, that we don't just believe half the truth, but Father, you call us to believe the whole truth, because the whole truth will keep us standing when the storms come. So God, I ask us that when those tough times come, when those battles come, when the storm rages, we would not look and say, woe is me, but actually we would look up and say, God, what am I to learn? How can I grow through this? How can I go through this so that in 5 years' time I'm very, very different? How can I handle this so that in I will have learned a lesson? But Father, I thank you that no matter what I go through, though I be hard-pressed, though I be perplexed, though I be persecuted, God, it doesn't matter, because I know that I'm going to come out the other side stronger and closer to you. So Father, help us, each one in our battle. Help us, each one in our calling, to stand for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.